The Viking schedule is out and released, and it kind of reminded me of a story I wanted to tell you guys, so let's get into it on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And today on the show, it's schedule release day, which is something I don't usually care about a whole lot. And the reason for that is, like, we've known the opponents for a while, so the actual teams they play, of course, it's important strength of opponent and all that stuff, but we've had that information. You can get that information 5 years out if you want to, because it's all rotational. But the schedule itself comes out, and you find out when the games are, how many prime times, when your bye week is, you know, you find out stuff about, like, playing the Saints in London and all that. So there is some stuff to glean, and we'll talk about it. But really, the first game is against the Packers. We'll talk about what that means. But that kind of reminded me of the first game ever for the Vikings. And I want to tell you the story about that. There's a lot more beef and drama there than you might remember or know about at all if you're a younger fan. So we're going to do that. But first, I'll just go over the schedule with you real quick. You can look up what the actual schedule is. But it seems like the Vikings did pretty well in terms of, like, what you can get from schedule week. You know, there's not too much travel. They don't have any, I didn't even realize this, they don't have any road games on the West Coast. No, nothing in the earlier time zone, so you don't have to play at what feels like 10 a.m. for you. That can be really difficult. They have, interestingly, a week 7 bye instead of a week 5 bye after London. So usually you go to London, and we've known about the London game for a while, and you come back, have a bye week, and then continue on, so you can, you know, recover from international jet lag. Nope, not this time. They're going to play two games. They come home, they got a game against the Bears at home, like, divisional game right after that London game. And then they go to Miami, and then they have a bye week. So I could imagine that being something about, like, not wanting a week 5 bye. Week 5 bye kind of sucks, and if you're going to go to London, I'm sure you kind of can have your choice. So a week 7 bye is about when you want one, right? Like, kind of early-ish in the season, not too much. Yeah, I would want one more, like, week 10, week 11, but 7's fine. But let's go over this. So they're starting against the Green Bay Packers at US Bank Stadium. Same opening day as 2020. We'll hope it goes better this time. And really, the only thing I can think of here is week 1 Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is famously good on week 1 and then totally disappears. It's like, we got his one good game. But really, I mean, this is going to set a really big tone for the whole year, right? And it's going to be a really difficult matchup right off the bat. You've got, you know, new coach, new everybody coming together, and it's probably the best team on your entire schedule coming to town. At least it's the home game, you can say that. The next thing will be Monday Night Football in Philadelphia against Philadelphia Eagles, which is another one we've known about for a little while. They announced that the prime time there. That's a tough stretch, right? Packers is going to be hard. Monday Night Football is hard. You're going to have all these Kirk Cousins Monday Night narratives. I don't really care about them, but you're going to have it. And then you get a reprieve of the Detroit Lions. The Lions come to US Bank Stadium for week 3, and then they go to London. Then they get the Bears and the Dolphins. That's the first 6 games, and then they get a week 7 bye for the third year in a row. I don't know, man. You could go through all those games and be like, well, they won't beat the Packers, and then Monday night's a bad thing, and then, you know, the Lions, well, the Lions are going to be better this year, so they'll lose that game, and then London's hard, they'll lose that game. Of course they'll lose to the Bears, and then, you know, the Dolphins are going to be better than you think. They have Tyreek Hill, nobody can cover, they'll be 0-6. And you could also say, oh, you know, home game against the Packers, they always play the Packers tough, I think they're going to be better than you think, and the Packers don't have receivers, maybe they'll win that one. Maybe they'll go, you know, the Eagles have Jalen Hurts, not a big fan of him, and you know, they've still got problems on their roster. Lions, that's a win. You know, you go to to London and play the Saints, who don't really have a quarterback, so you can do that one. Bears are a disaster. The Dolphins are overrated. They'll be 6-0. And you could, like, do that for all of this, right? I'm not going to give you, like, a schedule prediction. Maybe I'll do that, like, on the eve of the season or something. But I'll be honest, I'd really only be doing it for clickbait. So after the bye, They go a home game against the Arizona Cardinals. That should be a pretty tough one. The Cardinals sort of famously start out hot and then fall off, and week eight is going to be like, right, maybe we can kick off their yearly decline. And then they go to Washington to play whatever is going on in Washington. I don't really understand their roster, so we'll see what that is. And then a Buffalo trip, so a little East Coast trip. The Buffalo trip, of course, that's going to be one of the most fun games of the year. You got the Stephon Diggs revenge game narrative. And I think, I don't know, Vikings fans and Bills fans, just, we've got a lot in common, okay? And then a little homestead, Cowboys, Patriots, Jets, all coming into town. Cowboys, I always think that they're a tough out. Patriots, I think, are they have the same over-under as us. And then the Jets, well, they too play professional football. But that's a little homestead. And this is actually a four or a 5 of 6 week stretch of home games. The only road game will be they go to Detroit, and then they come back home for two more, one against the Colts, one against the Giants, and then they close out the season, Lambeau Field, Soldier Field. Hope you don't need those. That's going to be rough. The Soldier, I mean, going to Lambeau Field second to last week of the year is like a tradition, and ending the season against the Bears is a tradition. But it's kind of fun to have that Soldier Field game, which is notoriously always a debacle. They won a couple of them in a row, but whatever. That's going to be a much different vibe this year because the Bears might not be in it. I mean, I don't think anybody expects the Bears to really make a lot of noise this year. They're very clearly transitioning into something else. They're going to be out of it by week 18. That is going to be a meaningless game for the opponent, and maybe it'll have meaning for the Vikings. We'll see how that affects the curse and juju of the Soldier Field thing. Beyond that, you've got a couple of preseason games, Raiders, 49ers, Broncos, and I believe joint practices with the 49ers are in the works. I saw some floating around about that, so maybe there's something there, but, yeah, that's the schedule. I mean, there's not much to say about it. We've known the opponents for a long time. You just kind of hope the travel isn't too crazy, and the only consecutive road games they have are Lambeau Field, Soldier Field, and then a couple of trips to the East Coast. You go to FedEx, and then you go to Ralph Wilson Stadium. And then, I mean, the real travel here is London and then coming back. And I think that is a rough enough sequence that the schedule makers kind of let you get away with not really much, you know, a decent bye week 7, not too much travel, and, you know, big 5 out of 6 homestead afterwards, with some beatable teams on there. You got disaster Giants and Jets teams. You know, your only road game is the Lions. If the season does start out bad, there's a way to kind of pull that back with some of the teams later on the schedule, but this is the NFL. It always comes down to the last two, and very few teams are eliminated by the last two. A few teams have already figured it out, and they're going to the playoffs by the time you get to the last two, and assuming you're somewhere in the middle, you're going to have to go to Green Bay. You're going to have to go to Chicago. You're going to have to probably win at least one of those. That's going to be the way we see this. So really, though, when the Vikings announced that they were going to play against the Packers week 1, I started thinking about the Vikings' first ever game, which was also a divisional game week 1 against the Bears. And I told you at the beginning of the week we were going to do a little story time series, a little history stuff. We're going to do a little history lesson here on the Locked On Vikings podcast that is just, I don't know, inspired by the schedule release. But first things first, let me talk to you about a good old Gramble. If you want to get yourself a Gramblin on anything, maybe now that you know the schedule and you didn't know the opponents before or whatever, you can go to betonline.net and you can go ahead and bet on whatever it is you want. Vikings over and over under is 8.5. You think they can have a winning season on that schedule? Go ahead and gramble on it. You can bet on basketball playoffs or hockey playoffs if you can bear to look at them after what the Minnesota teams have done to you. You can also go bet on a real sports team in the Minnesota Lynx and anything else. You bet on tennis, golf, MMA, whatever. Even play your favorite Vegas casino game. So head on over to betonline.net. Get yourself a Gramblin. Bet online, where the game starts. I think most people, when they think of the first quarterback of the Vikings, the name that probably comes to mind is Fran Tarkenton. He is the original guy. He was the first quarterback of the Vikings for the entirety of the first era of the Vikings. Norm Van Brocklin was the coach. Fran Tarkenton was the quarterback. He did a weird stint with the New York Giants for a second when Bud Grant first came to town, and then he reunited with Bud Grant, went to all the Super Bowls. That was the deal. But Fran Tarkenton, believe it or not, was not the first starting quarterback of the Vikings. That guy was a sort of journeyman quarterback by the name of George Shaw. George Shaw was kind of a Sam Bradford-esque figure. He was a total college stud. He backed up Johnny Unitas for a while. He experienced some leg injuries, and he couldn't stay healthy, and he kind of did. By the time he got to the Vikings, that was his third team, and things were kind of not working out. And the Vikings actually traded a first-round pick for him. He was still kind of seen to be a good enough quarterback for that. I don't know about you, but I feel like if I were a Vikings fan in 1961, I probably would have expected the first-round guy to start. And I don't think anybody in the world was really surprised when he was the one that trotted out. But I want to rewind even further, because this first Vikings game is a lot more than just the first time they took the field. There's a lot of sort of the DNA of the Vikings in this game. And you kind of have to go all the way back to their inception, which is a way deeper story for another day. But for now, suffice it to say, George Halas, that George Halas, Halas Hall of the Chicago Bears, legendary coach and all that, was also the chair of the expansion committee, and he was the one that decided to award the Vikings with the Minnesota market with a team as kind of part of a competition thing with the AFL, and as the expansion team, and the Vikings joined the league alongside the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys joined first because the NFL was doing something petty with the AFL's Dallas Texans, which was Lamar Hunt's team, and everybody hates Lamar Hunt in the NFL. And so the Dallas Cowboys came first in 1960, and then 1961 became the Vikings. And that first sort of preseason, that sort of just getting up, they had all of their expansion draft players, they had made their drafts, they had gotten Norm Van Brocklin as the coach, they had kind of already put it all together, they figured out what their colors was going to be and all that stuff, and it was time to finally play football, and that was a fairly messy process. It was an expansion team, it was a new organization getting its feet under it, so this is to be expected. But that preseason of 1961 didn't go very well. Fran Tarkenton played a lot of the game, started a lot of those games, and Norm Van Brocklin had told Fran Tarkenton, "You are the starter here, and we're going to treat you like the starter, and you know you're going to play all this preseason, and we're going to get you ready to go." One of those games was against the Bears. Now, in the lead up to that game, the disorganized Vikings that were still trying to get their feet under them forgot to send their game film to the Bears. This was back in 1961. You couldn't exactly go online. There wasn't a shared database of game film. You had to like take reels and mail them to the other team. And Norm Van Brocklin and the Vikings had failed to do that in time. And this was a bit of a faux pas, right? Like, send us your game film. What are you trying to get an advantage in a preseason game? What are you doing here? I don't know. I can't really find what happened there. But what you can find is George Halas being really, really upset about it. And he ripped the Vikings a new one over this. And he called that, he said that they were like unprofessional. And he just totally ripped the organization. And then they get on the field for that preseason game. And the Bears blow the doors off of the Vikings. Fran Tarkenton gets beat up in that one. And in that game, if you ask Fran Tarkenton, that preseason game was when he kind of realized, I probably shouldn't be a pocket passer. Now, if you know about Fran Tarkenton, his whole thing is that he was a scrambling quarterback. He was Russell Wilson before it was cool. Fran Tarkenton ran around a little bit in college, but it kind of, you could see it being like a thing that ends in college. But then he stepped on the field, and the mighty monsters of the Midway, the Chicago Bears, beat the piss out of him. And he went, what if I just didn't take the hit and ran away instead? And that's how he tells it. That's how he tells that he decided he was going to be the scrambling quarterback. So in the week leading up to the game, he went over to Norm Van Brocklin's house a whole bunch. They watched film together. They studied the Bears. They got ready for the game, which is why it was so deeply weird and astounding that George Shaw ended up being the starter. So if you were a fan at the time, outside, not privy to any of this going on, it totally made sense. It would be like if you traded a first-round draft pick for Kirk Cousins, and then also Kellen Mond was your third-round rookie. No one would have expected Kellen Mond to start in that situation. But Fran Tarkenton himself, who was the only person who knew about this, was very surprised that Van Brocklin, ever the mercurial coach that he was, changed his mind. Now, what actually happened in that game, you are probably familiar with, but if you're not, I'm not going to tell you. So everybody be quiet, no spoilers. First, let me talk to you about the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It is Built Bar. Built Bar is delicious, covered in 100% chocolate. It is great for post-workout or for like a late night snack because it's only got like 130 calories, but like 7 grams of protein, like 4 grams of sugar. So it's not going to knock you off the wagon. It's totally the kind of guilty pleasure snack you can have if you want something chocolatey, but you don't want to, you know, you're trying to lose or maintain weight. You're trying to be good. You know, get ready for summer, right? Swimsuit season's coming up. But like, you tell your cravings that Built Bar is exactly what you need. So they come in a whole bunch of different delicious flavors. They've got like a marshmallowy kind that's Built Puffs. It's like marshmallow churro puff, but also their classic flavors like chocolate caramel or raspberry or chocolate orange or cookies and cream, all sorts of great stuff. So head on over to Built.com and enter promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You get 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com. I think if you ask most Vikings fans, they probably call the Packers like the main rival of the Vikings, right? Because the Bears have been sort of up and down and they haven't been particularly relevant for a long time. And the Packers have always been the juggernaut with the target on their back and they've been the guys to beat, right? That certainly was not always the case. And for, you know, people my age, I grew up watching Brett Favre and then I've spent most of my adulthood watching Aaron Rodgers. This is when the Vikings and Packers were crazy rivals and all sorts of crazy moments in all of those games, from opening US Bank Stadium to that one game, Monday Night Football in 2000, when Antonio Freeman caught the like most improbable pass ever, you know, the Brett Favre stuff, all that. Everything is a lot fresher. And so we see it as the Packers. But if you ask me, the Chicago Bears are a much more historic rival. Because in the olden days, the Bears were the juggernaut. And Vince Lombardi's Packers were the juggernaut too. But Lombardi retired in 1967. So there weren't actually a ton of meetings between, you know, the Vikings. I mean, when they were like an expansion team and everyone stomped them, they played a lot. But by the time the Vikings were good, you know, 1967, 68, that was like right after Lombardi retired. So they sort of passed each other. They missed each other. A lot of that comes from, a lot of my opinion here comes from that first game, because there was already George Halas had been like, these unprofessional, these stiffs, they're nothing, because they didn't get the game film to him in time. And then he came out after the preseason game and talked a whole bunch of nonsense about how stupid the Vikings were. And week one, meaningful game, was on the schedule. But also just that shared history, just that role that George Halas had. The Vikings are the Vikings because of George Halas. If it weren't for George Halas, the Vikings probably would have been the Raiders. And Halas himself had a lot to do also with some of the other events leading up to Minnesota being awarded with the team and kind of being recognized as a football market in the first place. Again, story for another day. But I think of the Bears as the Vikings as this Frankenstein-like monster that the Bears kind of created. And the Cowboys as well, when all this AFL-NFL rivalry stuff was going on. And the Vikings were sort of born out of a move to try to squash a competing league. And then they ended up merging, and that's kind of funny. And so that's why I think of the Bears as a more historic rival. The Packers are clearly the team, the more historically successful team, you know, and they'll tell you about it. Ask any Packers fan. But I think of the Bears as, I guess, a truer rival because of the shared history, the almost familial relationship that we have with them. All of that leads up to September 17th, 1961. The Vikings take the field for the very first time. George Shaw played most of the first quarter. He threw 3 pass attempts, and Norm Van Brocklin pulled him and put out Fran Tarkenton. Why things went down this way? I honest to God cannot find an answer. I kind of feel like Norm Van Brocklin just did that. He was a little bit of a wishy-washy waffler, you know, the end of his tenure. Again, another story for another day. Had a little bit of, we'll say, changing his mind in it. And I think he just sort of, I think maybe he just woke up that day, overthought it, put George Shaw out there and went, nah, I've been watching for Tarkenton. This kid's totally better. And put Fran Tarkenton out there. The first touchdown the Vikings ever scored as a professional football team was a 14-yard pass to Bob Schnelker that put the Vikings up 10-0. This would be the closest the game was. It was an absolute drumming of George Halas's regal, historic, well-respected Bears. It would be like an expansion team coming into the league today and just undressing the Chiefs, or maybe like the Patriots, right? Or one of these like blue-blooded organizations that is a contender every single year, honestly, or the Packers, right? An expansion team coming in and just putting the screws to Aaron Rodgers and taking him down. The Bears would score one touchdown in that second quarter. They would miss the extra point hilariously, so it would be 10-6. And then Fran Tarkenton ripped off three touchdowns, two more passing touchdowns, and he ran one in himself before finishing out his day with a fourth touchdown to Dave Middleton to make the score 37-6. There would be a garbage time touchdown, and the final score would be 37-13. After this first game, George Halas, who had gone in front of the media and ripped how stupid and unprofessional and worthless he thought the Vikings were, he went to the media after the game and he ripped his players. He said, how dare they, we got to get it together. How dare they? And I like that. I don't know if George Halas ever really respected the Vikings. I know that he created the Vikings in a manner of speaking, or he at least lured them to the NFL. But I don't know if he ever thought of the Vikings as more than an expansion team that was overachieving, even maybe in some of their most glorious days. If you have a quote that proves me wrong, let me know. But at any rate, this was a big moment for the Vikings, and it stands out to me for two reasons. For one, it was the beginning of this Bears-Vikings rivalry, this strange intertwined relationship that these two teams have. Even to this day, these two teams, now they're in this like weirdly synchronized kind of dueling rebuilds thing, where the Vikings are doing this competitive rebuild stuff that they talk about, and the Bears seem to just be kind of tearing it apart. And I mean, go all the way back. I mean, the Vikings and Bears were kind of in 8-8 mediocrity for a lot of the same years, and they were good for a few of the same years, and there's always been something weird. Now you got this Soldier Field curse. There's always been something with the Vikings and the Bears. Go all the way back as far as you want to. And I think that is beautiful. I know that we all like to rag on the Packers, and I like to too. You know, the Packers are truly the hated team, and if you ask any Vikings fan which team they hate the most, you're probably going to hear the Packers most of the time. But let's not forget the Bears. I love ragging on Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. I love trolling him on Twitter or making fun of him in crossovers and stuff. But Lauren, Locked On Bears, Lauren, I have not forgotten about you. Here's the deal. We're going to be doing a lot more of this history stuff. In case you couldn't tell, I've got a lot more stories and all that. So we're going to do a lot of this. I'll still talk about football. I've got a few more draft picks I want to go over, and Brian Asamoah, Ed Ingram, and maybe even some of the later day three guys, Caleb Evans and Ty Chandler, I really want to talk about. So we'll still talk about all those guys. I'll do some of the more regular storytime series that people who have been here for previous summers are familiar with, about like backstories of current Vikings and stuff. But there's a lot of cool stories of the Vikings. Some of them you might have heard, some of them you might not have heard. Hopefully I can tell you something you didn't know before, or I don't know, make you nostalgic for a forgotten age. But either way, we'll keep talking about all this stuff next week. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skull.